Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime. You know, there are news stories, and then there are events that some of us in the media, in a way, become part of because of the coverage that we provide. And in the early 90s, I was very much involved in the coverage of the murders of Kristen French and Leslie Mahaffey. I got to know the French and Mahaffey families personally very well. In this studio, we had the head of the Green Ribbon Task Force. That was the Niagara Police unit that was pursuing the suspects in the murders of Leslie Mahaffey and Kristen French. And I remember sitting in this very position of this chair with the head of the Green Ribbon Task Force on my right, saying live on the air, "I suspect that the suspects we're looking for will be listening to your program right now." And it was a very chilling thing to hear. And I said, "Why?" And the police officer said, "Because they want to know what we're doing." And that gave me the feeling that the police are very close to making an arrest, and they did very shortly thereafter. So then we became aware of Paul Bernardo and Carla Homolka and the deal with the devil, which saw Carla Homolka set free years ago, living comfortably now with her own family. I wonder what she tells her kids. Paul Bernardo has been, as you know, removed from his maximum security prison in Ontario and moved to a medium security prison in Quebec. That got the whole country fired up, rightly so. And he's had parole hearings. Bernardo, parole hearings. And then the French and Mahaffey families wanted to have access to Bernardo's police, or prison records, rather. And the Correctional Service Canada and the parole board said, no, you can't have those. That would be in violation of Mr. Bernardo's privacy rights. So they went to court with their lawyer, Tim Danson, and all the courts leading to the Supreme Court of Canada said the same thing. No, you can't have those records. And Mr. Danson appealed to the Supreme Court of Canada just a few days ago. The Supreme Court did not, as I said earlier, distinguish itself by refusing to even hear the appeal by the French and Mahaffey families. Tim Danson joins us. Tim, what was it like to know, what was it like to hear that the Supreme Court would, in fact, not even entertain your clients, your friends' appeal for access to the records of Bernardo?
Well, we were very surprised because there is a very specific criteria for leave. Just to put this in context, though, about 90 to 92% of all leave applications are dismissed. Only 8 to 10% are allowed, and then they're divided proportionally among the provinces. So the chances of getting leave are very difficult in the best of circumstances. But having said that, there is a criteria that they use, and we met that criteria 100% in our view. Obviously, the Supreme Court of Canada felt otherwise. But for example, when we were unsuccessful in the federal court trial level and the federal court of appeal, they relied on a case called Mooring, which was decided 27 years ago. So generally, and it's a Supreme Court of Canada decision, and often, you know, the Supreme Court of Canada will say, or I shouldn't say often, almost exclusively, that they're not going to review one of their decisions until a lot of time has passed by. So over a quarter of a century is by far more than enough time for them to reconsider one of their earlier decisions. But here, 23 years after they decided the case in Mooring, they dealt with the issue in part in a case called Bird and said, but on the facts of that case, they didn't have to decide this issue. And so they were going to leave it for another day. Well, our case is that other day. And it's not just that other day. The evidentiary record, which usually the Supreme Court wants, is a comprehensive, tested, reliable evidentiary record to make a decision, was our case. And so we were very confident, as were our Ottawa agents, that leave would be granted because we met the criteria, including that it was a matter of considerable public importance, public interest. It's hard to believe that once again, the rights of a sadistic, sexual, psychopathic murderer like Paul Bernardo, that his privacy rights trumped the rights of the victims and the public's right to know, particularly when you juxtapose that to the Access to Information Act, which is what we were applying under, states as its objective to enhance the accountability and transparency of federal institutions in order to promote an open and democratic society and enable public debate on the conduct of those institutions. How are Canadians able to evaluate whether or not our corrections parole system, which is of considerable public importance because it's all about public safety, is functioning properly if critical evidence is kept from the public? And let me just give you one example. Because we're at all the parole hearings, whether it's Paul Bernardo or it's Clinton Gale, who murdered a police constable, Todd Bayless, or Craig Monroe, who murdered police constable Michael Sweet. And we're at all these different parole hearings before different parole boards. And these offenders tell very different stories to different panels of the parole board. And the only constant is us, and we introduce this through the victim impact statements. One of the things that we wanted under the Access to Information Act is either the audio recordings of the parole hearings or a transcript. Now, if any member of the public wanted a transcript of a criminal trial, criminal proceedings, sentencing, dangerous offender applications, we get it because we're protected the right to know, freedom of expression, freedom of the press, protected by 2B of the Charter. Why does that change for the parole board? They're determining the end stage of a sentence. Paul Bernardo and others are asking to be relieved from the full consequences of their life sentence so they can be reintegrated into society. Well, society would be very much alarmed to know that a sexual, sadistic, psychopathic murderer may be amongst their midst. And so they have a right to know the evidence that Paul Bernardo and the parole board might be relying upon. So this was a case that was of such monumental importance. And as I say, we otherwise met the criteria that we were very disappointed and surprised that we didn't get leave. And so now we're going to have to turn to shows like yours and other media to educate the Canadian public, to then reach out to their members of parliament and say, we're not going to take this. This is not acceptable. You cannot treat sadistic, sexual, psychopathic murderers who have life sentences and have been declared dangerous offenders, so they have an indefinite sentence in addition to their life sentence, and treat them the same way as federal offenders who have fixed sentences who are going to get out at some point in time. It just, with all due respect to everybody, it just boggles my mind. This is really, really simple. And I'm reminded when we argued the videotape issue in the mid-90s, when the public and the media were trying to get access to these awful, unspeakable Bernardo Homolka videotapes. And you walk into the courtroom and there's 30 plus lawyers and we're all in our gowns. And you've got piles and piles of books of authority. And we came out of the court, Justice Lesage reserved, and Donna French said something to me. And she just cut through it all. And she says, you know, Tim, some things are right and some things are wrong. And this is just wrong. You don't need thousands of pages of case law. Every Canadian knows in their gut, they know intuitively that this is wrong and we need to change the laws. If the courts aren't going to do it, Parliament should. And quite frankly, it really is more Parliament's responsibility than the courts.
You know, I suspect, Tim, that from the vast majority of Canadians listening, and most people have at least a peripheral sense of the case. They know what happened, and they've been able to pick up various aspects of it as time goes by, and you've represented the families. But it's still listening to you, and I was so close to it. Listening to you, I still sit here, and I'm absolutely aghast at the decision taken by the Supreme Court of this country. We're talking about, as you said, it's just there's the right thing to do. And you don't need a law degree. You don't need years as a successful lawyer. You don't need years as a judge to be appointed to the Supreme Court of Canada to know what the right thing to do is. Ask a kid; they'll tell you. It's very, very, very disturbing. So this sets you back, but it's not the end. But you need parliamentary involvement. You need a law passed. All of that takes time unless they decide together to do it quickly, which they should. And they should have maybe foreseen this or taken care of it years ago. But here we are with Paul Bernardo's privacy rights being superseding the victim's family's rights to know what they need to know, what you need to know to represent them the next time that individual finds himself at a parole hearing.
And what it means, Roy, and let me be very frank about it, is that as it relates to the corrections and parole system, which is probably one of the most important government institutions that exists in terms of the general public's interest because of their public safety, what this means is that the Access to Information Act is meaningless. That's what it means. So here I don't mean to repeat myself, but its objective is what you would expect in a democratic society, to enhance accountability and transparency in federal institutions in order to promote an open and democratic society, enable public debate, and the conduct of those institutions is now been rendered meaningless. And that is very, very disturbing. I've said this on your show before, you know, what's worse than losing is not trying. And we're going to continue the good fight because we're right. I would have obviously preferred that the Supreme Court of Canada granted leave. I don't mean this literally, but I would have preferred to have been able to argue the case on the merits before the Supreme Court of Canada and lose than not being heard at all. And I feel, and this is very self-serving, I appreciate it, but I think that if we got before the 9 judges and we got to make our argument and educated them appropriately, that we would have won. So this is a disappointment, but I think it just means that we got to try harder.
Yeah, it definitely will lose in the court of public opinion. We need to thank you as well, Tim, for the many years of dedication that you've provided, not only the French and Mahaffey families, but also families like the Stevensons, Jim and Anna Stevenson, in the death of their son, Christopher. You do tremendous work for victims, particularly families whose children have been subjected to outrageous assault and have been murdered. So thank you for what you do.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your kindness.
Yeah, no, it's so easy to just say, hey, Tim, tell us about this, tell us about that, tell us about the other. But we don't see how many hours and the dedication and that you present and how close to the families you are and what you mean to them. Bernardo, you've told us in the past that he's an arrogant bastard and how he behaves with total indifference toward the families and the victims at his parole hearings. He's now going to see this as some sort of victory for him that he can use at his next parole hearing, I would suspect.
Yeah, well, I mean, clearly, you know, certainly he knows that he doesn't have to disclose information that would certainly have to be disclosed in a courtroom. And, you know, one of the issues that we were addressing was whether, you know, the open court principle applies to parole hearings. And the answer to that is, of course, the open court principle applies to tribunals across Canada, which includes the parole board. And this decision says, no, the parole board's different. So the open court principle does not apply. To a process where the parole hearings themselves are open to the public. So there's a kind of a disconnect intellectually and legally that I just find difficult to appreciate. And this was the opportunity for the Supreme Court of Canada to address that critically important issue. But to give you an example, when we do the victim impact statements, and this is a very, very important point, not just for the Frenches and the Mahaffeys, but all the victims who I've represented over the decades, and that is, they're not interested in revenge. They're interested in justice. And when they see from parole hearing to parole hearing the psychopaths, who one of their hallmarks is manipulation and deception and lying, doing precisely that, then, you know, they allow us to file victim impact statements where we use our best memory and recollection as to what occurred. That's okay. But what we can't have is an actual transcript of the hearing, which would make sure that the parole board had the exact facts. Now, how does that make any sense?
It doesn't. It really doesn't. Tim, I again, thank you from all of us for what you do, and thanks for so much for coming on the program today.
Thanks for inviting me, John.
Always appreciate it. All the best.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone.
Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.